Ezekiel chapter 4, verses 1 through 17. This is the word of the Lord. "And you, son of man, take a brick and lay it before you, and engrave on it a city, even Jerusalem. And put siege works against it, and build a siege wall against it, and cast up a mound against it, set camps also against it, and plant battering rams against it all around. And you take an iron griddle, and place it as an iron wall between you and the city, and set your face toward it, and let it be in a state of siege, and press the siege against it. This is a sign for the house of Israel. Then lie on your left side and place the punishment of the house of Israel upon it. For the number of the days that you lie on it, you shall bear their punishment. For I assign to you a number of days, 390 days, equal to the number of the years of their punishment. So long shall you bear the punishment of the house of Israel. And when you have completed these, you shall lie down a second time, but on your right side, and bear the punishment of the house of Judah. 40 days I assign you, a day for each year, and you shall set your face toward the siege of Jerusalem, with your arm bared, and you shall prophesy against the city. And behold, I will place cords upon you, so that you cannot turn from one side to the other, till you have completed the days of your siege. And you take wheat and barley, beans and lentils, millet and emmer, and put them into a single vessel, and make your bread from them. During the number of days that you lie on your side, 390 days, you shall eat it. And your food that you eat shall be by weight, 20 shekels a day. From day to day you shall eat it. And water you shall drink by measure, the sixth part of a hen, from day to day you shall drink. And you shall eat it as a barley cake, baking it in their sight on human dung." And the Lord said, "Thus shall the people of Israel eat their bread unclean among the nations where I will drive them." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I have never defiled myself. From my youth up till now, I have never eaten what died of itself or was torn by beasts, nor has tainted meat come into my mouth." Then he said to me, "See, I assign to you cow's dung instead of human dung, on which you may prepare your bread. Moreover, he said to me, 'Son of man, behold, I will break the supply of bread in Jerusalem. They shall eat bread by weight and with anxiety, and they shall drink water by measure and in dismay. I will do this that they may lack bread and water, and look at one another in dismay, and rot away because of their punishment.'" This is the word of the Lord. At the end of Ezekiel chapter 3, Ezekiel goes into a valley where he sees the glory of the Lord standing there. And in chapter 37, this valley is revealed to be a valley of death. the valley of dry bones. When you find yourself in the valley of suffering, when you find yourself in the valley of death, you may know that the Lord is there. That He is with you. That He will not leave you or forsake you. And you may know that if you die, He is with you in death, and He will raise you from the dead. At the end of Ezekiel chapter 3, we find comfort in the valley of vision. But at the end of Ezekiel chapter 3, we also see what was required for the fulfillment of God's gracious purpose toward His people. The binding of the Son of Man and the destruction of the temple. It is only then that Ezekiel's period of silence comes to an end. It is only then that his prophesying results in life to those who hear. It is only then that the dead hear his voice and are raised to life. It is only then that the Spirit enters into them. Salvation comes to the house of Israel. Salvation comes to God's people through the ministry of the Son of Man. And we see this in chapter 4 as well, as Ezekiel bears the iniquity of God's people. In Ezekiel chapter 4, the Lord, through his prophet, symbolizes the coming siege against Jerusalem. A siege that will result in the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. And you can read about this siege in 2 Kings chapter 24. But why was this siege coming? Well, we know the reason. It was because of the iniquity of God's people. And what is iniquity? It is guilt. Guilt that is incurred for having done what is wrong. And this is what happens whenever you do something that is wrong. Whenever you do something that the Lord has commanded you not to do, or when you fail to do something that the Lord has commanded you to do, you incur guilt before Him. A guilt that deserves punishment. A guilt that requires punishment.
For justice must be satisfied. The siege of Jerusalem was God's judgment against his people. It was God's punishment of his people who were guilty before him on account of their sin against him. And so this siege was being told beforehand. The siege of Jerusalem was to be symbolized by Ezekiel. Ezekiel was to build a model of Jerusalem by taking a brick and engraving upon it the city. And around that brick he was to put siege works and a siege wall and a mound, as well as camps and battering rams. And so we have here a scaled representation of the coming siege. But building a model of the city and the siege against it was not all that Ezekiel was commanded to do. For he himself was to participate in the symbol. Ezekiel himself was a part of the symbol. For he was to place an iron griddle as a wall between himself and the city, and to set his face against it. And this was a sign that the Lord had set his face against Jerusalem, and that the glory of the Lord had departed from Jerusalem, and that Jerusalem had been separated from its Lord. Ezekiel setting his face against the city, it was a sign that the Lord had set his face against Jerusalem. And so verses 1 through 3 of chapter 4 are straightforward enough. We might find this form of prophecy a little strange, but we can easily understand its meaning. But if verses 1 through 3 are slightly strange, things only become stranger in the verses that follow. For not only was Ezekiel to set his face against this representation of Jerusalem, but he was to lie on his left side for 390 days. And then again on his right side for 40 days. And not only was he to lie down on his side, but the Lord himself would bind Ezekiel. The Lord himself would place cords on Ezekiel so that he could not turn from one side to the other until the days were complete. Which means that Ezekiel would have done this for over a year. A truly strange sight in the midst of God's people. But what was the purpose for Ezekiel doing this? In setting his face against Jerusalem, with a siege around Jerusalem, we understand that God was going to bring a siege against Jerusalem, and that God was going to punish his people. So what was the purpose of Ezekiel lying down on his side and himself being bound by the Lord? Well, we are told in verses 4 and 6 that in doing this, Ezekiel was bearing the punishment of the house of Israel. That he was bearing the punishment of the house of Judah, by which we are to understand he was bearing the punishment of all God's people. And that each day represented a year. And so in this way, each day of Ezekiel's punishment would represent a year of the people's punishment. And so what happens to Ezekiel would be a representation of what would happen to God's people. And this does make sense, as in verse 16, Ezekiel's eating and drinking by weight and measure, it was a sign that the inhabitants of Jerusalem during the siege of Jerusalem would eat and drink by weight and measure, that they would eat by weight and with anxiety, and that they would drink by measure and in dismay as they rotted away on account of their sin. However, if we understand the days of Ezekiel's bearing the punishment of Israel in this way, we do have a problem in that the siege of Jerusalem did not last 430 years or 390 years or even 40 years. And so while we can recognize that Ezekiel's binding was to be a representation of God's punishment against his people, we should not understand that each day of Ezekiel's binding represented a year of Israel's coming punishment. Again, while we may understand that Ezekiel's binding was a representation of God's punishment against his people, we should not understand that each day of Ezekiel's binding represented a year of Israel's coming punishment. But if we are not to understand the days of Ezekiel's binding in that way, how ought we to understand them? Well, we have an issue of translation here. What is translated as punishment in verses 4, 5, 6, and 17 may also be translated as iniquity or even guilt. And if we translate the text in that way, we see that Ezekiel was not simply to bear the punishment of the house of Judah and Israel, but that he was to bear the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah. He was to bear the guilt of the house of Israel and Judah. And if we understand the text in that way, then each day of Ezekiel's binding would represent not a year of coming punishment, but a year of prior guilt. Ezekiel was bearing in himself the guilt that Israel and Judah had accrued and incurred for 390 years and 40 years. But now we have the difficulty of understanding what is meant by that 390 years and by the 40 years of iniquity. Now it is important that we remember that this whole situation is symbolic. It is a symbolic representation of God's judgment against His people. And we also should remember that the iniquity concerns the whole people of God, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And when we consider those things, we may understand these 390 years to refer to the period of time between the temple's building and its destruction. A period that is marked by sin and rebellion. A period that is marked by sin and rebellion against God on the part of Israel and Judah. And if the 390 years refers to that period of the temple in Jerusalem, then we may understand that the 40 years refers to the period of the tabernacle in the wilderness, which was also a period of sin and rebellion against God by His people. But however we are to understand these years, the 390 and the 40, we must not miss this point, that Ezekiel, in his binding, he was not simply symbolizing the punishment of the houses of Israel and Judah, but he was also symbolizing the bearing of their guilt. But why would Ezekiel bear in himself the guilt of God's people? Why would Ezekiel bear the iniquity of God's people? Well, remember who Ezekiel is. We think of him as a prophet, and he was. But remember how he is first introduced to us. Not as a prophet, but as a priest. And we are reminded that Ezekiel is a priest in Ezekiel chapter 4. We see that in at least two ways. And the first way in which we see that is the iron griddle. That iron griddle that he set up as a wall between himself and the city. This word translated as griddle, it occurs here in the book of Ezekiel and in only one other book of the Bible. And what else could that other book be but the book of Leviticus? In Leviticus chapter 6, in Leviticus chapter 7, the griddle was used by the priests in the preparation of the grain offering. It was something used by the priests in their service in the tabernacle and also in the temple. And so the presence of a griddle in Ezekiel chapter 4 ought to remind us of Ezekiel's identity as a priest, and it suggests to us that part of what is happening in chapter 4 is priestly service. And there is something else in chapter 4 that reminds us of Ezekiel's being a priest, which is his complaint over baking his food upon human dung. What does he say in verse 14? Ah, Lord God, Behold, I have never defiled myself. I have never eaten what died of itself, or was torn by beasts, or tainted. And of course, these issues are also discussed throughout the book of Leviticus. What is Ezekiel saying to the Lord? That he has kept himself pure up until now. In Ezekiel chapter 4, we are to recognize that Ezekiel has kept himself pure up until now. And so what is the result of his lament, of his complaint before the Lord? Well, God makes provision to ensure that Ezekiel would remain pure throughout the time of his bearing the iniquity of God's people. For Ezekiel's bearing the iniquity of God's people was a priestly work. But what are we to make of it? Why was Ezekiel to bear the iniquity of God's people? Why was he to bear the guilt of God's people? What is God telling us in Ezekiel chapter 4? In Ezekiel chapter 4, we are witnessing not only the punishment which God's people deserve, but in Ezekiel chapter 4, we are also witnessing how God would deliver his people from the punishment they deserve. How would God ultimately deliver his people from the punishment they deserve? Through the ministry of the Son of Man. Through the ministry of a priest who had kept himself pure. Through his bearing the people's iniquity. Through his bearing their guilt. Through his enduring the punishment they deserved. A punishment that he himself did not deserve. We speak of the death of Christ as a propitiation for sin. For Christ did not merely suffer for God's people, but he suffered the punishment which they deserved. He suffered the punishment which you deserve. In Ezekiel chapter 4, we see symbolized by God what was spoken by God in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear their iniquities. In Ezekiel chapter 4, we see that the Son of Man is also the suffering servant of the Lord, who would bear the iniquity of his people, though he himself was without sin. Who would become sin for his people by enduring the punishment they deserved. The punishment you deserve. The wrath of God. The wrath of God which is due to you because of your sin. The wrath of God which is due to you because of your guilt. The Son of Man, pure and holy. The Son of Man, who was without sin, bore the iniquities of his people. But we see something even more remarkable in Ezekiel chapter 4. For in setting his face against Jerusalem, who was it that Ezekiel symbolized? Lord himself. And so in Ezekiel chapter 4, we see that the suffering servant of the Lord is also himself the Lord. In Ezekiel chapter 4, we see not only the binding of Christ, but the binding of God. For your salvation required not only the binding of the Son of Man, but the binding of the Son of God. And that is why the Word became flesh. That is why the eternal Son of God took to himself our likeness. That in our likeness he might endure in our place the punishment which we deserve. The wrath of God forever. If we ever doubt the goodness of God's justice, here we see it. God satisfied his justice by enduring in his Son the wrath which you deserve. The Son of Man, the Son of God, he has borne your iniquities. So that you might be forgiven. So that you might have life. that you might have life with him forever. Shall we not give him thanks? Shall we not praise him? To him be the glory. Amen. Let us pray.